follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the GAA Postcast. I'm David Jennings from the Racing Post. In part two, we will have Joe Sheridan to look ahead to a crunch Connacht Championship clash between Mayo and Galway. And also in Ulster, we have got the meeting of Donegal v Cavan. But before then, to look ahead to the two Leinster Hurling Championship matches, we have got the man who got man of the match at the 2006 All-Ireland Final against Cork. It is Aidan Taggy Fogarty. How are you, Aidan?
Good now, David, and yourself.
Now, the first thing I have to ask is, how on earth did you get the nickname Taggy?
Oh, God, you have to put me in the spot straight away. Going back a long time, David, my brother was called Froggy, and I was called Tadpole because I was the younger brother. And somehow, in Kilkenny slang, Tadpole turned into Taggy.
So that is the most roundabout way of getting a nickname I've ever heard in my life.
Exactly. Usually these nicknames come like that. Fairly random, to be fair.
Well, at least that clears everything up. And we're also joined by Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. You've got no nicknames we need to know about, Paddy?
No, none that I can repeat on air anyway, Dave. So yeah,
I've heard you called a few names in the past, all right. Yeah. Of course, I'm David Jennings from the Racing Post, and we're going to be looking ahead to the football action in part two with Joe Sheridan. But before then, we've got a couple of cracking Leinster Hurling Championship matches to look at. And first of all, at 2 o'clock on Sunday, it is the meeting of Dublin and Aidan's native side, Kilkenny, on RTE2. And Paddy, first of all, can we get some prices and handicaps for the match?
Yeah, we can indeed. Dublin are 11-2, 14-1 the draw, and Kilkenny are 1-7. It's a 7-point handicap with Dublin at 10-11. The handicap draw is 11-1, and Kilkenny are even money in the 7-point handicap.
Aidan Fogarty, you've won 8 All-Ireland titles with Kilkenny. You know more than anybody what it takes to win the Liam McCarthy Cup. Can this current Kilkenny side lift a Liam McCarthy Cup? Have they got it in their locker?
Look, it's a difficult question, I suppose. Like Kilkenny, they have been building, obviously, for the last 6 months or so, but I think, generally, they're actually in a very, very good position. Obviously, they lost the two first league games, and everybody is writing them off. But, you know, Brian Cody kept his head and kind of won the league out of nothing. And Brian Cody has this team in a superb position, I think. He has the spine of a team settled with Killian Buckley, Pádraig Welsh, TJ Reid, and obviously Walter Welsh up in the full forward line. But it's the younger guys that have kind of stepped up to the mark in the last few games. The likes of John Donnelly, I suppose, the likes of Paddy Deegan, the Super League, and Mossy Cohen and these guys. Coupled with the likes of Colin Fenley coming back, Paul Murphy coming back, Richie Hogan has been in training the last few weeks and been going very well. So, Brian Cody always talks about a panel and getting the spirit together. Now he has competition for places. He has a settled team. I can only see maybe 2 to 3 changes for Sunday's game from the league final. Going forward, after winning the league, I think teams are kind of looking at Kilkenny again, kind of going, this Kilkenny team run a rise. It puts a kind of doubt into teams. And the fear of winning. Kilkenny are very good of actually winning, actually getting over games, winning titles. And teams against them, I felt over the years that, right, we'll match it for 60 minutes. But when it comes down to it, Kilkenny are probably going to win the game. Are they All-Ireland contenders? I think they are. I think everyone's in a pot now of the same level and same consistency. And it's so intriguing, the start of the championship, because I suppose we're all in kind of unknown territory from a point of view that it's a new structure, it's a round robin. We haven't seen teams in a couple of months play the likes of Offaly's, the Dublins. We haven't even heard of Galway all the league, really, to be honest, because we're in Division 2. So it's a level playing field, and this weekend is going to be crucial. It's going to tell a lot for a lot of teams.
Aidan, you sound like a man now that could throw on a pair of shorts, a pair of football socks and boots and run out for Brian Cody on Sunday. You're that enthusiastic. I think you could actually still play a role for him.
Well, I tell you, David, when I was on the panel, Brian hardly talked to me, so he's hardly going to give me a phone call today, I'd say now. Even though I would love it, I love championship, you know, it's early this year, I know it is. I'd be always kind of thinking about June the 10th, that's when we start the championship. But it is always about championship. And you talk to any player about training or whatever the case may be, you do the league and that's grand. But once it comes to championship, even the air anticipation around the county and things like that, and training is up, the level is up. Brian Cody is on a different level. He talks to the players a bit more. There's a bit more agitation in him, a bit more drive. It's just a super place to be with 30 guys going hell for leather to try and win Liam McCarthy.
Absolutely. Now, Paddy, I'm going to give you a very, very tough question that nobody, I don't think, is able to answer. But what on earth has happened to Dublin? An absolutely dismal spring, I suppose. We thought Anthony Cunningham coming in with Pat Gilroy was going to reignite the Dublin spark, but it seems to be going in completely the wrong direction, is it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was looking at the All-Ireland prices kind of at the end of last year, thinking that they could be a real shortener in the market if they got all their players back. Like, obviously, they did. They knew that they weren't going to get the Coola lads, that they were going to be kind of on a decent run. But you kind of thought with the Gilroy factor and Mickey Whelan, and then when Cunningham was announced on board, you kind of thought, right, well, they're going to have a couple of these young fellas coming through from a decent under-21 team about 2 or 3 years ago. Add in all those Coola players and getting back the likes of Danny Sutcliffe, then you really thought that they'd be kind of back to the Dalo levels of kind of 2013, 2014, but it really hasn't materialised at all. I think it's a crushing blow that a lot of those Coola guys didn't come back. Like, Sean Moran was coming back, and he was, in terms of his club form, he was probably one of the best in the country. He was absolutely unbelievable. But the likes of Colm Cronin that could be there, Paul Shute is injured, but Mark Shute should be back there. Maybe Oisin Gough could come back in. Like, there was enough of those guys, like, not to mention Conn, who I don't think was ever going to go hurling, but there's just another one kind of lost. Like, there is a lot of, that's the disappointing thing from the Ger Cunningham era as well. There is a lot of guys in Dublin that aren't hurling with the county team that probably really should. And in terms of, like, there was nothing, I didn't see anything in the league that convinced me, apart from, you know, a few flashes in the first half against Tip in Croke Park. I didn't see anything in the league that convinced me that Dublin are going to be anywhere at the races this year, in terms of Leinster or in terms of All-Ireland.
And does that mean, looking ahead to Sunday's showdown, that this is going to be a one-sided encounter? Kilkenny are going to cover the handicap, nothing to see here, all one-way traffic, punters get on now.
Yeah, like, it's a 7-point handicap, and it's disappointing, because we'll say, when you go back to the Anthony Daly time, it was kind of Fortress Parnell, really, like, in terms of league games and stuff like that. Like, you know, the likes of Tip went down, I remember, one year, like, and got annihilated in the first game. And it just, like, you are looking at that and you want to fancy Dublin in some way, but it's just really, really difficult. Like, their backs are still relatively solid. Like, they've a strong half-back line, probably too strong, really, in terms of, in comparison to the rest of the other lines in their team, because Moran is going to come back. You've got Liam Rush and Crummy, who are, you know, proper half-backs, and Shane Barrett's probably there as well. But it's just in the forwards, they're just really, really weak. There's word as well, I think, that Donald Burke is going to be out this weekend. I think he tore his hamstring, so, like, David Tracy would come back in the freeze. But, like, just in terms of scoring power from midfield up, I just... Like, if I was backing Anthony, it probably would be the Kilkenny handicap. Like, there probably is going to be tons of effort in the first half, and, like, you'd expect to see a performance. But I remember I kind of said something similar. Like, it's a bit of a different situation, but I said something similar. I was going down to Tullamore last year, and I didn't think that a Galway team was going to go down and hammer Dublin the way they did. But, like, they unfortunately they folded as well in that game after, you know, maybe after 20 minutes, half an hour. Like,
Is there a chance that 7-point handicap could change before match time? Could it become 8? Could it become 9?
We're not seeing a whole lot of money on it, to be honest. I think people are kind of just holding out that maybe there will be a Dublin performance first time out. We're not seeing any money for Dublin either. Like, the business on it has been quite slow, but yeah, if it was going anyway, I would say it would probably go towards the Kilkenny side. I'd say it will go off 7 and the off, but yeah, it could be one that might be just a little bit vulnerable. Like, if this is, I mean, there is a Parnell factor there, but if this was Nolan Park, you could be talking a difference of maybe three points, maybe. Mm. Yeah, I'd say 3 points of a difference there as well.
Could be double figures, yeah. Aidan, how would Kilkenny approach this game? They obviously know that Dublin were poor during the league, and complacency is something that doesn't usually affect a Kilkenny team, but surely, as you said, they're starting so early in May, surely they are looking a little bit further ahead down the summer.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. Look, I suppose in the player's head, when we used to play Dublin, in the back of our minds, we'd be thinking, right, we're going to get a right little battle here, but we probably will win the game. That's what we used to come. That's what will be in our heads. And that was with the Anthony Daly era, which, you know, Dublin went to a very high standard at that time. But Brian Cody doesn't do complacency. He'll keep them very, very grounded. You know, he'll keep these guys level-headed. And, you know, it is a dangerous game, even though there's such negativity coming out of Dublin the last couple of years, and it's probably because they've been mismanaged since probably Anthony Daly left, really. You know, players coming and going, there was things in the media, things been said, there wasn't a good vibe. And, you know, Pat Gilroy has a massive task in his hands this year. He brought in a lot of older guys, mixed with a lot of young guys, but I think there's no real mix there, you know, and he's trying to kind of probably get a good vibe and a good spirit together for a championship. Now, I know he's actually training very hard. He trained him twice a day during the league games. So I think Pat Gilroy, he's more of a championship type of guy. He knows. He's been through the ranks with the Dublin outfit, obviously. So he's not concentrating on league. He's concentrating on championship. And the only thing that I can see is the Parnell Park factor. No matter how good or how bad we were going in our day, we went to Parnell Park and we always got a battle. We always, no matter how well we were going, we never really got into our full stride in Parnell Park. It's a tight field. You know, the crowd will be on top of you. Obviously, it's their Dublin home ground. There'll be a lot of support for them there. And if they get their tails up, I think they can put in form. I don't think they'll beat Kilkenny, but I think they can get it at home. And the whole thing about the cooler guys coming back, you know, the strengtheners. A lot of them didn't come back. Conor Callaghan was the best player. Obviously, he's gone football. Mark Shute has gone to football as well. Washing God, Colin Cohen has been mentioned already. These guys should be racing back to that outfit, you know, to play for Dublin, if they can at all. But from a Kilkenny point of view, Brian Cody will have these guys absolutely level-headed, and he will be talking about the Parnell Park factor to these lads. And it's a cliche, it's a bit of a banana skin, it's the first round of the championship, it's early season, don't know what to expect. Kilkenny probably in a better place, obviously, than Dublin. But a lot of negativity from Dublin. Can I see him even win a Leinster title or getting forward? Not really. I think for Dublin, it's to try to stay up in the top tier.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And that brings us to predictions, lads. Obviously, it's hard to know first round of championships how teams are going and stuff, but punters listening here will want to know what is the best bet on this match coupon. And Paddy, we'll come to you first. What are you expecting? Obviously, I'm guessing you're expecting a Kilkenny win, but by how much?
Yeah, I think Kilkenny are going to win the game. Like, I do want to see a performance from Dublin, so I'm hoping they can keep a win as a seven. So I'd probably stay away from having a bet in the handicap market. One bet I kind of liked is, like, if Dublin are going to have any joy, I think they're going to need a kind of an early start, the same as they got against Tip. And like, even though it was 1B, they had kind of a little bit of a goal threat. So I thought Danny Sutcliffe was worth a few quid for a goal. I think he got one or two during the league, and there's a couple of decent enough prices out there. So an anytime goal scorer, Danny Sutcliffe, I would have thought.
What price are we talking about there, Paddy, roughly?
Yeah, we're 7-2 on site, so it's probably a small bit bigger out there, but yeah.
So Danny Sutcliffe to score anytime?
Anytime goal, yeah.
Anytime goal. Okie dokes. And Aidan, for you, a Kilkenny victory in store?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think it's going to be a typical Dublin kind of maybe performance. I think Pat Gilroy will have them in good place. I think they might hold their own for 45 to 50 minutes, but I think Kilkenny will pull away. I think they will be too strong for him. You know, thanks to TJ Reid, Colin Fennelly back, our firepower is too much for Dublin. And as been mentioned already, I don't think up front Dublin have the class to probably put away Kilkenny at vital times. And probably having the confidence in themselves at this moment, it's only early with Pat Gilroy, probably having the confidence in themselves to actually think they can actually beat Kilkenny. And even if they were in it in the last 10 minutes, they probably wouldn't get over the line because of that confidence, that lack of kind of ruthlessness that teams need to actually get over in championship matches. So I go for a Kilkenny win. I think, you're just talking about goal scorers, I think myself, maybe Walter Welch is maybe a good bet there for first goal. You know, he's on the edge of the square, scored a goal again, Tip. He's a target man for Kilkenny. They will be trying to play him into the game. He's got a lot of balls. So going for a Kilkenny win and Bobby Walter Welch for a...
Paddy, what price is Walter to get the first goal?
7-1 Walter Walsh first goal.
7-1 Walter Walsh. And I want a man of the match prediction from both of you. Aidan, first of all.
Yeah, look, it's as easy to say. I'm going to go for TJ Reid here. He's in the form of his life. He's on the freeze, which obviously gives a little bit of an advantage for a player going for man of the match. He has been Kilkenny's talisman. I was at all the Kilkenny games on the league. I could have given him man of the match nearly every day he was out. He's going to be he's in super form. And I just think he's the class above everyone at the minute, and I'm going to go for TJ Reid for Man of the Match.
I'd imagine, Paddy, TJ Reid is probably one of the shortest price favourites in the Man of the Match markets that you'll have this year.
Yeah, he'll be short enough. We've a few gremlins in the minute, so we don't have it on site, but we'll be offering 5-1 on him on the day anyway. He's going to be pretty short, and he's going to be pretty popular as well. I'd probably just pluck for one, maybe just a little bit of a bigger price. I thought, like, Killian Buckley is hurling out of his skin at the same time as well. Like, suited centre back seems to really suit him. So I think, like, if you could kind of get a kind of 12-14-1 chance around him, I'd say he's worth a few quid as well.
I have a theory on man of the match markets, and it's if you've got a team like Kilkenny that are playing Dublin, and it's similar in football, if the Dublin footballers were playing
maybe Kildare or Meath. So you know that the huge likelihood is that Dublin are going to win the match. And the huge likelihood is that they're going to rack up a big score. And that means that rules out possibly defenders getting man of the match as well. So in essence, it's basically a 3 or 4 horse race if, you know, maybe some of the halfbacks are dropping a little deeper. You're basically picking the man of the match, a selection from 3 or 4 possibles that could get it in the forwards, because surely, Paddy, that's the likelihood with a man of the match market, that if a team wins by a wide margin, it's going to go to one of the forwards. That's why I think TJ Reid at 5-1, people might say that's ridiculous, that's a favourite, but it's 5-1 in possibly a 3 or 4 horse race.
Yeah, I think the way the hurling has changed a little bit in the last couple of years, like, I would agree with you, probably a little bit more so in terms of football with a big wide score like that. But I mean, what you're kind of seeing more so now, like even in these kind of high scoring games, is the likes of Buckley, the likes of Porg Maher, and guys in the half back line, even kind of Porg Mannion for Galway, like they can kind of, these fellas can chip in with 3 or 4 points from play from half back as well, and it doesn't really take a whole lot to do that, and then they can kind of stick out a little bit more as well, like, you know, cause,
sorry Paddy, you just ruined my theory.
Like the one guy who can kind of blow that out of the water, I suppose, is TJ, because he's not going to miss a free, and then if he does chip in, like if he does return kind of 1-3 or 1-4, then he's going to obviously stick out as well. But I definitely wouldn't discount any of these kind of modern day kind of swashbuckling halfbacks, because, you know, with the way the Schlitter is these days, they're scored, their point expectancy is kind of going up, and that's what people kind of look for as well in men on the match, you know.
Absolutely. So that is Dublin v Kilkenny, 2 o'clock RT2 on Sunday. But before then, on Saturday night, we have the return of the All-Ireland champions, Galway, who face Offaly in what, again, could be a one-sided encounter. Paddy, can we get some prices on Offaly v Galway, please?
Yeah, All-Ireland champions, that has a nice ring to it, actually.
It does, sounds good.
Match winner for the game, Offaly are 11-1, the draw is 25-1, and Galway are 1-33. It's an 11-point handicap, Offaly are even money, handicap draw is 12-1, and Galway minus 11 is 10-11.
Aidan Fogarty, my colleague in here in the Racing Post, is a very shrewd judge, Michael Mulvihill, and you can read all Michael's thoughts on the Hurling Championship in today's 16-page supplement in the Racing Post. He is convinced that Offaly will keep within this handicap. Convinced, and he's been convincing me all morning. Is he mad?
I don't think so. I think Offaly are in a better place than they have been in the last couple of years. I think the new manager, Kevin Martin, there, has come in this year, and the way Kevin used to hurl with Offaly, he was quite, but he was a hard nut, and he just gave it all for Offaly hurling. And I think he's after instilling that into Offaly. And even the likes of getting back the like of Colin Egan, Dan Curran, Conor Mahon, these guys didn't hurl over the last few years for whatever reason. But Kevin has got them back, and he's got them playing kind of more to an Offaly style. Like last year, they went up against Galway and they had 2 sweepers and they conceded 33 points. Albeit they didn't score a goal on them, but they still conceded 33 points. But Kevin, I think, has kind of allowed them to kind of express themselves a little bit more, kind of get more on more ball, kind of playing more an Offaly style, more of a traditional kind of 15-on-15, which, you know, that kind of suits Offaly. And, you know, they played Dublin in the first round championship, and you all remember Michael Dygan's tweet, I think it was, he was ecstatic about it, did very well, only lost to Kenny by 2 points, gave him a good rattle up in Tullamore, and obviously Kenny went on to be eventual league winners. So I think Offaly are in a way better place than they have been, and it's their home ground. I think Kevin will have them in a great position. Will they win? I don't think they will, but I think they're in a better position to keep in the handicap, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds as though you're pretty confident that they'll keep within that 11-point handicap. And before we move on to you, Paddy, just on Galway, Aidan, obviously they had a fantastic year last year. We know how hard it is to do back-to-back All-Ireland titles. It's a tricky, very, very tricky thing to do. This Galway team, do you think they have it in them to put up a real big defence of their title?
I think they do. Like, it's amazing with Galway this year. They're Ireland champions. I think I've seen clips of them maybe for 5-10 minutes on television there, and I've seen nothing else of them. I haven't heard about them or seen them, and I think it's a great position for Galway to be in. Now, as you said, they're Ireland champions, and there's a lot of things that have happened probably over the winter and up to the last couple of months that maybe might have been out of control. Things like maybe on holidays, they came back training late. There's obviously an aura of kind of, you know, these guys are kind of heroes up there, keep them grounded. They'd probably be going to schools with the cup, going to functions. And these things, without you even knowing it, can actually drain you mentally. And you can kind of take your eye off the ball just slightly. And that's all it takes, is just slightly. So it'd be just very interesting to see how Michael O'Donoghue has actually managed that side of it. Because we haven't seen much of the hurling. Limerick obviously beat them in the game where Galway probably should have won it. But at the same time, they're coming in under the radar for our Ireland champions, which is unheard of, really, you know, and great position for them. All the talk is about Kilkenny now, or Tipperary, on the other scale of things. So it suits Galway down to the ground. But to be fair, I think Galway wants to build momentum. And that's what they done last year, I felt. They got over games maybe that they wouldn't have won in other years. You know, obviously they beat Tip by a point in the semi-final, and last year they lost to a pint in the semi-final. But they have a good core of guys. I think Conor Whelan, Conor Cooney, Joe Canning, Cahill Mannion up in the forwards, serious forward line, and they can mix it both ways. And their backs, Stoddy Burke, Cahill McInerney, these guys are serious contenders, and there's really good mix with them. And I think they're very grounded. I think Micheál Donoghue has actually kept them grounded. As long as they keep grounded and humble and focused on what the task is and don't get carried away with maybe things outside of their control, I think they are real contenders. Of course they are.
Paddy, that'll be music to your ears. Could it be back-to-back titles for Galway?
Yeah, it definitely could. I think there'll be a big circle around one game for Galway, especially in Leinster. When Kilkenny come down to Pearse Stadium, I think so obviously they went out and won the All Ireland last year, but there's probably, you know, if anyone did want to criticise them, there would be a slight criticism that they haven't beaten Kilkenny in a big game since 2012, and there's a lot of guys in the panel who haven't done it. So I think they're going to really be gunning for that one down in Pearse Stadium. I'm not so sure how fired up they're going to be for this one, and I'd agree with your colleague Michael and with Taggy as well that I think Offaly are a decent enough bet in the handicap here. Like we kind of moved the handicap towards Offaly yesterday, because just the more you think about it, like their form is, their league form was pretty good. Like when you look at back at that Kilkenny game and what Kilkenny did after that, they really seem to be playing for Kevin Martin. I don't think there will be any of this nonsense of two sweepers and still going out getting bet by 20 points. Like they'll have a right go at Galway, and I think they're like, the thing about that Galway team is that they're well able to put up a score on teams if they get into a bit of a rhythm. But you kind of saw that they had a bit of a slow start in the league. They didn't really, they didn't pull away from the Dublin game as much as maybe they could have, where Dublin was pretty poor that day. Against Limerick and against Wexford, they definitely looked kind of half-cooked. So I wouldn't be so sure how fired up they're going to be for this one. So yeah, anyone who wanted to back that Offaly handicap, I wouldn't put you off it for a second.
So have we two confident votes for Offaly plus 11? Paddy Hearn?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. If I was going anyway, I would back them plus 11. And I think there's a couple of prices around them to lead at half-time as well that look far too big to me. I think they could really tear into Galway in the first half.
What are we talking about there now?
Yeah, I think we're 13-2. There's 15-2. There's 8-1 around as well, and that could definitely look a big price, because you know that I've no doubt that they're going to be competitive anyway early on in the game. Like obviously, if Galway are fit and if Galway are kind of up for it, they can pull away in the second half. But I think they're going to get a bit of a rattle early on, anyway.
And Aidan Fogarty, Offaly plus 11 point head start running out on Saturday evening. Can they keep within that?
Yeah, look, I think so. I have a feeling Galway will just be that little bit rusty. And I think with it being in Tullamore and the way they're playing for Kevin at the minute, I think it is a really decent bet. The way when we ever played Offaly, you know, they always stuck into us. And it could be a bit of a shock for this Galway team for the first 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, and they have very good players. Look, they have Shane Dooley, they have Berrigan there on the edge of the square as well. They can get goals. So if they got an early start and got maybe a 5 or 6 head start, and I think Galway will eventually get into rhythm and maybe get over them, right? But I think it's a really good bet, I think, at the minute.
Oh, we like to hear that. We have two strong picks on Offaly to beat the 11-point handicap. And any thoughts on first goal scorer, lads? Paddy?
One I thought maybe Cahill Mannion, seems like even during the league when others weren't firing around him, he seems to be playing okay, and I think he's playing quite well for his club as well. So 12-1 I'd say is worth a few quid.
Aidan, fancy anybody for first goal scorer?
Yeah, I'm actually going with the opposite team. I think Galway kind of struggled last year to actually get goals, and I think they're not going to focus on getting goals this year either. I'm going to go out and look at the prolific goal scorer himself, Shane Dooley. He always pops in with a goal. He's a free taker as well, so I think there's a good chance he might get the first goal.
Paddy, what price is Shane Dooley for first goal scorer?
Yeah, Shane Dooley 7-1 as well there.
Oh, lovely. We like a bit of 7-1. Okay, folks, so what is the best bet of the entire weekend in the hurling championship? So if hurling aficionados want to have one bet in the championship this weekend on the hurling, what should it be? Paddy Hearn, we come to you first.
Yeah, like one of the decent price, just one I mentioned there. I think there's a hell of a lot of value in Offaly to lead at half time at 8-1. I think you're going to get a good run for your money if you back that.
Aidan Fogarty, the best bet of the weekend in the hurling championship.
Yeah, I think Paddy's mentioned it there. I was just thinking to myself. I think Offaly to be leading at half time, but I think on an end score, I think Kilkenny probably will beat Dublin by 7 or 8 points, and in the end I think they will, Galway will as well, so maybe if you double up on that, I think both teams will burn out 7 or 8 points.
Okie dokes, there we go. So that's it for the first weekend of the Hurling Championship. We've got Dublin v Kilkenny at 2 o'clock on Sunday at RT2, and we've got Offaly v Galway on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. That's the end of part 1. Join us in part 2 where we'll have football expert Joe Sheridan.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Welcome back to part 2 of our GAA postcast, and we are delighted to be joined by former Mead, I was going to say forward, but he was also a former Mead goalkeeper, Joe Sheridan, and he's going to talk us through the football action, and we're still joined by Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And what a weekend we have in store. Well, it's in early May, and we've got Mayo v Galway and also Donegal v Cavan. What a cracking Sunday we have in store. And to start us off at 4 o'clock on RT2 at Castle Bar on Sunday, it is Mayo v Galway. Paddy Ahern, rattle off some prices and handicaps, please, for Mayo v Galway.
Well, of course, Mayo are 8-11. The draw is 15-2. Galway are 6-4. Mayo -1 is even money. The handicap draw is 15-2. Galway +1 is also even money.
Now, Joe Sheridan, we're going to hand over to you here first because I know you're a founding member of this Galway team's fan club. on our preview postcast last week, you were talking them up as potential All-Ireland winners. So does that mean that Galway are going to start the Connacht Championship with a win?
Yeah, that's it's going to be a great game, to be honest. You know, it's a great one to whet the appetite for the championship, for the forthcoming championship. What I would say, like, you're looking at Galway and Mayo, the game is in Castlebar, which is a massive plus for Mayo. You know, any time in the Connacht Championship, if it's in Castlebar or Salt Hill, it usually does give you, you know, with the local crowd and the home crowd, you're probably going to get maybe a couple of points out of that, which is obviously a plus in. And what I think is going to be a very close game, I think, you know, when you look at Galway and you look at Mayo, where your strengths and weaknesses are, you're looking at. I think with Galway's form in the league, I'd like to see them to bring that into this game on Sunday. You know, when you look at Mayo's form, it's been pretty up and down. You know, had a couple of big beatings, whereas, you know, Galway, they drew with Dublin, drew with Kerry, and, you know, they topped the league. I know they got beaten in the league final, but it will give them the confidence going into this game. You know, the only thing about Galway is they're probably inexperienced, you know, over the last couple of years. They've a lot of younger players. I see they have three new debutants coming in to start on Sunday as well. So you might have to take that into consideration when we're looking at the game. Also, midfield for them, I don't really think they know their best team just at the minute. I think as the year goes on, they will get a lot better. I mean, Kevin Welsh probably gets a more settled team. You know, Paul Conroy has gone out of midfield. He's gone to centre forward. And they've two new boys in who actually didn't even start in the league final at midfield or start at midfield on Sunday. So that is going to be it's going to be interesting to see, because, you know, Mayo are a very experienced team. And especially with the likes of Aidan O'Shea and... you know, I know they're going to be missing Lee Keegan, but they have serious experience all over the pitch with Colin Boyle, and I see Park Durkin is coming in wing back instead of Lee Keegan. And also then you have, I think, Killian O'Connor is going to start. I think he's free to start, so which is to be a good thing for them, obviously, for their scoring ratio. So it's going to be a very interesting game. It's going to be very tight, but I can just... I just think from the league form coming in, I don't think it's far away in the last couple of years. You know, league form coming into the championship, it's really, really sort of following through. And the league teams who are doing well are bringing that to the championship. So I think Galway are going to cause an upset on Sunday.
Paddy, there's been a wave of support for Galway in the Connacht Championship. I presume they're actually one of your biggest movers of the entire championship campaign. Like, it's incredible. All the momentum is behind Galway. Are you seeing that reflected in the last couple of days going into the Mayo match?
Yeah, the last couple of days it's kind of dried up a little bit, but like throughout the league, we couldn't lay enough of them for Connacht, and we kind of still couldn't within the last few weeks. And then we were kind of laying a bit of the 6-4 for the match as well. But it does have, like, I have to say now, it's kind of dried up a small bit this week. But it's funny, like, for the last 2 years, and especially in 2016, like, the liabilities we had on Mayo, even in running up multiples, I think Mayo went off 1-6 against them in Castlebar, which in hindsight was the wrong price, but that was just money, like, ploughing that price and moving it, and now it's gone completely the opposite way. We can't really seem to lay a bean on Mayo either for the last couple of weeks. The more I kind of look at it, like, I think this game is going to be incredibly tight. It's going to be a really attritional, I'd say it's going to be a low scoring game. I'd say the amount of time the ball is going to be in play is probably less than half an hour, because all the rouses are going on and people kind of dragging off each other and that kind of stuff. So it will be exciting. I don't know about, from a quality point of view, how good the game is going to be. I saw a couple of prices out there in the draw. I think there's 10-1 on the draws out there if you really go shopping. That I think is an absolutely massive price, because I don't think there's going to be more than 30 points in this match. Like, I can see it kind of being a 13-all, 14-all, really kind of attritional game.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think it is going to turn into an attritional game, and I think that's going to suit Mayo. And Joe, just this Mayo team, obviously it's like deja vu. It's May. We're saying they can come back again. How could they possibly come back again? They're finished. This Mayo team, they've been such great servants, and let's cherish what they showed us in the last couple of seasons. But, you know, we were shown last year just how much they can improve throughout the year. And surely this year, they will be saying to themselves, let's win another Connacht Championship. Let's beat Galway. Let's get that monkey off our backs from recent years. Surely this is a huge game for Mayo, and a bigger game in the Connacht Championship than they've had in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. You know, they've obviously went through the last number of All Irelands and been very close and very unlucky. And the quality of players they have around the squad is pretty impressive when you still look at it. I know they've lost a couple of players and players are getting older, but you still have a lot of young players and sort of middle-aged lads that are coming into their prime, sort of 26, 27, like Sevaden O'Shea, Killian O'Connor. These lads who really should be driving things on and really, really bringing it on. Like, you still have the experience of Andy Moran. Still plugging away in fair play. It's great to see. And I'm not writing them off. I just think Galway have improved that much, and I just think they would probably have that much in them for Sunday. You know, the thing about Mayo, there hasn't been a word about them. Obviously, all the talk is about Galway from the league, and obviously coming in from last year's championship. So Mayo must be delighted with the position they're in. There's not a word about them. They can just get on with what they're doing. They do their training. Obviously prepare pretty well coming up to Sunday, and you know they must be licking their lips to say they've been completely written off after what they've done over the last couple of years. And you know, I hope it doesn't come back to bite me, especially after putting so much behind Galway.
I think it will, Joe. I think it will. I think you can prepare for a pounding on this show next week. Looking at Galway, Paddy, you're obviously a proud Galway man. Like, this team has evolved very quickly under Kevin Walsh, and you know, the likes of Damien Comer, Shane Walsh, just people suggesting that they get on any forward line in the country. Is there a recency bias, though, with Galway? Are we just looking at the league and maybe last year's championship and maybe getting sucked into thinking that Galway are All-Ireland contenders when really they're quite still a bit of a distance behind Mayo?
Yeah, like, it's sometimes it can be easy to fall into that trap, but there is, I mean, there is evidence that the team is evolving and that In there's facets of their play that's really kind of impressive. So I'm probably going to mention this fella umpteen times on the podcast this summer, but if you follow Don Fowle on Twitter, he's a GAA statistician. He's he kind of went into Galway's league form and how they've kind of changed the tactics of Gaelic football a small bit. So what teams are trying to kind of do is mirror Dublin and hold on to possession and have all these kind of you know, have like 180 touches and just wait for the right score to come along, all this kind of stuff. Galway kind of completely changed that in his head during the league. So they seem to be taking less shots, but their conversion rate was, just apart from Dublin, was as high as anybody during the league. And like the top of that was these kind of guys like Eamon Brannigan, and who, you know, people mightn't have heard of a lot before this year. Shane Walsh is still missing a few, but I think people are kind of putting up with that just because he's so good with the ones he can kind of slot over. Damien Comer's conversion rate is ridiculously high, and so is, like, if you look at Barry McHugh's frees as well, like, they're incredibly accurate. So they have that kind of decent mix of, like, rock, they're rock solid defensively. That full back line has really kind of turned into a real functioning unit, and then they have these forwards who are just like, they're just kind of playing at a really high level. So I think that they are close to the, like, I think they're really knocking on the door of that top four. So I wouldn't I know you're a big Tyrone fan, but I wouldn't have them, you know, that far away from Tyrone. I just think that this game,
come on,
genuinely
Tyrone,
I think
are operating at a completely different level, surely.
I'm not so sure about that. Like, I would like to see them play later on in the year, and I think, like, it's, I think with Tyrone it's kind of questionable what they're up against in how good Ulster football is at the minute. But like, I think the best thing about this, like, we're saying it's the first proper weekend of the championship, and like, there's a very good chance that this is maybe, like, dependent on what Kerry shows during the championship, but they showed us nothing during the league, so we could be looking at the second and third best team in the country here. Definitely. But I do think, like, it's there's so much riding on the game as well, because like, whoever goes out has a kind of a big long qualifier run, like as you say, are Mayo kind of, do, are they going to have the appetite for that? And like, Galway aren't going to want to go into that either, and it depends on what side you're going to kind of come into the Super 8. So there's a hell of a lot riding on this game rather than just local pride, you know.
There certainly is. Right, lads, it's time, it's decision time. Time for your best bet on the match. First of all, we come to man of the match and first goal scorer in a second. Paddy, what's your idea of the best bet on the coupon?
My best bet is no goal scorer in the match at 11-2. The weather is not promised too great for Castlebar, and I think if you look, like, it took kind of, there was one goal in the league game which was a worldie of a goal from Barry McHugh, and then in all the games they've played the last couple of years, it's been pretty, there's been very few goals in it. So I think no goal at 11-2 is definitely worth a bet.
Oh, I like the sound of that. No goal for Paddy Ahern in Mayo v Galway. Joe Sheridan.
Yeah, I was actually going to go with the same thing. I think it's going to
be a tight game. You weren't. You're copying now.
But it won't. Let me see. I'd probably look at the goal scorer. I think it's going to be a tight game. But Andy Moran, I think if I have to put my neck on the line, he could sneak a goal. You know, there's going to be one, maybe no goals. But I'm going to stick with Andy Moran. I think he's at, is he 8 or 9 to 1, is he?
Yeah, Andy Moran's 8 to 1.
Yeah. So I stick my neck on the line. Andy Moran, he's poaching around. He's always good for a goal, and you know that's what I'll go for.
Okay, so the 48-year-old Andy Moran to get the first goal. A man of the match prediction, Joe.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of good matchup. Some of the players actually might cancel each other out, so they might not shine as much as they will. I'm looking at, look at the likes of Aidan O'Shea, the likes of Damien Comer, Shane Walsh. I think it might just take a couple of games to get going. Paul Conroy at centre forward, he's going to have a lot more sort of space than at midfield. He won't have lads dragging out of him. So I'm going to look at Paul Conroy at, I think, what price? I'm not too sure what price he is there.
Yeah, 16-1, Paul Conroy.
16-1, yeah.
Okay, so Andy Moran for first goal scorer and Paul Conroy for man of the match for Joe Sheridan. For you, Paddy Ahern, man of the match and first goal scorer?
First goal scorer, like, I don't think there's going to be a goal in the game. If you did want first goal scorer, I think like the one place that Galway can make a bit of hay is if they can isolate Comer on Jerk Hafiki. He could run right altogether. I don't think Mayo are going to be naive enough to let that happen, but if I was picking a goal scorer, I probably would go for Comer, but I do fancy the no goal. I think it's going to be such a tight game that you could even, it depends on who you fancy is going to win for man of the match. If you wanted Mayo, I think Aidan O'Shea is rock solid. He always kind of saves a big one for Galway, and he'll get plenty involved. On the Galway side, there might be a decent price, hopefully, when they go up on Owen Kern as well. I think he's he's turned into one of Galway's most important defenders and man markers, and I'd say he'll give Killian plenty of stick for the 70 minutes.
Okay, doke. So that is Mayo v Galway. For what it's worth, I think Mayo are going to start the championship with a convincing win. I'm going to go for maybe 3 or 4 point Mayo win. Moving on up in Ulster, we've got Donegal v Cavan in Ballybuffet, and the betting, Paddy, which slightly surprised me when I looked at it during the week.
Yeah, it's 2-5 Donegal, 15-2 the draw. Cavan are 11-4. Donegal -3, 11-10. The handicap draw is 9-1, and Cavan +3 is 10-11.
There is far, far, far too much between Donegal and Cavan in those prices, Paddy. Surely, tell me those prices are all wrong.
I think we're actually top price on Donegal, but yeah.
Holy God!
The thing is, like with Cavan, I think the loss of Darren McVitie is going to be. Is a real kind of a hammer blow to them. Like he's such an important player for them. He gets on so much ball. He's so much energy, and he kind of proved during that Division 2 league final that he's a bit of a goal scorer as well. He's a really, really good player, and like it is. If you look at that, like I know that everyone was saying like everyone was massively pessimistic in Cavan during the league, and they kind of turned a few heads and they shut people up to a certain extent. But this is like a first game in the Ulster Championship for a lot of these guys, especially in the forward line. Like Donegal are just ones that they've frustrated the life out of you in Division 1, because they just looked like, to use the horse rights analogy, they were kind of Archibald, or they were just like a bridle horse, because they'd go they'd have
Archibald.
Oh, there was 10-15 minutes against even Dublin when you're kind of looking at going, these guys are unbelievable, and they're outscoring them 5-1, and then you look at the end of the games and they're actually like finishing with whatever they finished, 2 or 3 points, and they're losing games by a point when they look like they should be winning them by 10. So like they have tons and tons of potential. They are a hell of a lot more open than they have been in like definitely under Rory Gallagher. But I do think that like if they can, they are developing these under-21s, they still have massive leaders in terms of like the likes of Frank McLean, Michael Murphy and McBrearty's turned into a huge leader obviously, and I think there's too much talent there. Like I'd be very, very surprised not to see Donegal kind of coast through to that Ulster final with the side of the draw they have. This is probably going to be the hardest game, but I think they'll win it.
Okay, doke. So you think it's going to be pretty much one-way traffic for Donegal against Cavan. On Darren McVitie, I think it's a grade 2 or 3 tear he had, wasn't it? So there must be a chance that he'll make it.
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps there was. I thought he was definitely out, but yeah, I think that might change the price if he is playing.
Yeah, no, he certainly had a cracking league. Joe, I know we're singing from the same hymn sheet here, and I know you think that Cavan are possibly one of the more underestimated teams going into the championship.
Yeah, and I suppose obviously when you look at McVitie gone, and even argue, I think has left the squad. I think he's gone traveling to America, so he's a serious player for him over the last couple of years. So he'd be a bit of a loss. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot closer. Like when you look at the league, and I know I'm coming back to the league a lot, but I think it does coincide with championship form over the last couple of years. Like Donegal got 3 points out of Division 1, you know, and a couple of heavy beatings. You know, didn't show too much in the league. Whereas Cavan, you know, went and beat Cork, Down, Meath, finished second in the league, and you know, put it up to Roscommon, who are unlucky not to win the Division 2 title as well. So, I think a big thing for Donegal is that the game is in Ballybuffet. You know, the home advantage again. I think it's going to be a big plus. They very rarely lose. The only thing with Donegal is, as Paddy was saying, they don't have the energy to sustain for the full game. We played them last year in the championship and we probably should have beaten them. You know, we were the ones the last 10 minutes running, trying to get the scores. Whereas Donegal boys, they put a lot of effort into the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and they just seem to peter out then, because I don't think they have the same fitness levels and the same type of players that they had obviously under Jim McGuinness. So it's going to be a fascinating game, but I'd love to say Cavan beat them, but I think, you know, I'd be looking at that Cavan +3 at 11-10, I think could be a great price.
Yeah, that 11-4 though is so appetising, given that Cavan, again, coming into the championship on the back of another promotion to Division 1, I think there's possibly too much in those prices between... Honestly, when these two were paired together, I roughly thought it would be 8-13 Donegal and maybe, you know, 7-4 Cavan. I was shocked to see them so big at 11-4, but such is life. And with this match, Paddy, how much of a bearing is this going to have on the Ulster Championship? If Donegal do win impressively, could they be challenging Tyrone for favouritism in Ulster?
Yeah, well, I think they will, because like the side of the draw they have is pretty handy. So I think they have Derry next, and Derry, like in terms of personnel and just in terms of the way they're going, like I wouldn't fancy them to win an argument at the minute. Like they'll have Derry then, and then they'll have kind of the winner of Down Antrim, I think, and like Down obviously relegated from the league. Like they showed last year in Ulster, they can raise performances, you know, like the one they had against Monaghan last year and against Armagh for that matter. But I think they might be going back just ever so slightly. Like I think they have a handy run to the final, and then you're kind of looking at probably whoever wins that Tyrone Monaghan game. Probably end up being Tyrone. Like they got absolutely wiped out against Tyrone last year, but with a different approach, I could definitely see them giving Tyrone a much, much better game than they did last year. I think they'd be quite close, to be honest.
Okie doke. So the best bet on the Donegal v Cavan match coupon, Paddy Hearn, is?
Yeah, I really like this guy, a new fella from Bundoran in this Donegal team, Jamie Brennan. He's a bit of a goal threat, and he's well able to take a score. I think he's 8-1 for the first goal. I think there's a bit of value in that.
Lovely stuff. Jamie Brennan to get the first goal for Donegal. Joe Sheridan, the best bet in this kickoff match?
I'd love to say Cavan 11-4, but I'm just going to rein it back in a wee bit and Cavan +3 at 11-10.
Okay, that was Cavan +3. And I'm going to go in the hope that the likes of Niall Kinroy, Quevin O'Reilly, Darren McVitie hopefully be playing, Garrod McKeown. I think they've got a decent team, this Cavan team, and they're playing nice football at the moment. I'm going to chance Cavan at 11-4. Now, before we get the best bet of the weekend, very, very quickly, I want you to tell me who's going to win these matches and how much they're going to win by. First of all, Wexford v Laois. Paddy Hearn, who wins and by how much?
Yeah, I think Laois might be betting the handicap here. I know that a couple of guys in the office don't agree with me, but I don't think Wexford are up to much, and Laois have a decent side with Gary Walsh back, so I think Laois could win that pretty well.
More over 5, over 6?
Yeah, I'd say, what is it, we're a 4-point handicap, but yeah, I think they're going to beat that, to be honest. I'd say they could win by 6 or 7 easy.
Yeah, I'm going to go Laois by 8. Joe?
Yeah, I'd be looking at that. Wexford should have been shocking in Division 3, and you know, Laois, obviously, just too strong for Division 4 where they're at. They shouldn't be where they're at for the players that they have. So I'd be looking at probably 7 or 8 points for a Laois win.
Okie dokes. And then on Sunday, Loud v Carlow, Paddy?
I think there might be a little bit of a league hangover here with Carlow. Like, they look plenty short to me with Brendan Murphy gone. So I know Loud didn't set the world alight, but yeah, I'd probably, if I had to have a few quid, it would be on Loud, isn't it?
Yeah, Loud by 2 for me. Joe?
Yeah, I know Brendan Murphy's a massive loss, but I think Carlo have a bit of confidence going into this game. Loud, I just think, have really struggled. You know, they're bottom of Division 2, and I know there's a big gap between 4 and 2, but I think Carlo could sneak it.
Okie doke, so a slender win for Carlo for Joe Sheridan. And finally, Offaly v Wicklow. Joe, we'll start with you this time.
Yeah, it's going to be tight enough now. I think Offaly will just say it's going to be a very tight game. I don't think there's going to be much quality in it. Two teams are struggling at the minute to get sort of quality players and to get the players out at the minute. So I'd be looking at probably Offaly just to sneak it.
This is Stoke v West Brom, Paddy, isn't it?
Oh, it's worse than that. Jesus, it's brutal. I'm struggling to make head or tail of it, really. Like, if you'd expect like Wicklow to come with a performance.
What happens
but
if both teams fail to score and it ends in a draw?
Oh, we'll go to extra time. We'll go to 45s and neither of them will score either, apart from Nigel Dunn and Bernard Allen. Offaly, they probably have, with those two guys in the inside, that small bit of class. Like they should win the game, but it's hard to see them beating anyone by 5 or more. But yeah, I think Offaly will win, but if Wicklow come up in any sort of performance, they won't hammer them, I don't think.
Yeah, I have a tentative vote for Offaly as well, maybe by 3. So all that's left to do now is reveal our best bets of the weekend. Paddy, I'm going to throw my 2 pence worth into the hat here, and I'm hoping you're going to agree with me. I think that Mayo are absolute certainties, and that the 2-point handicap could be obliterated. And that brings me nicely into my best bet of the weekend, which once again will be Mayo -1 v Galway. Paddy Ahern?
Yeah, Jesus. When I think back to that, and when I see your keeping Paul Keighley in drink for the rest of his life, I definitely should have had some sort of a wager with you that day, but anyway.
Yeah, I could have been walking naked down O'Connell Street or something.
Yeah. Yeah, just for a bit of insurance, I'll go for under 1.5 goals in Mayo Galway. I think there's probably 11-8. Hopefully you might get 6-4 in the day. I think it's cracking it.
Yeah, great bet. Joe Sheridan?
Yeah, there's only one nap for me, and that's Galway 6-4. I think it's just a massive price, and I think it could be prying into your pint over the weekend, Davies. So,
do you know, I'll have a Jägerbomb with you, four. Joe. Let's have a gentleman's bet, a Jägerbomb. I take Mayo, you take Galway.
Happy days, that will go with
yeah,
that.
We'll be in the Palace nightclub in Navan now, drinking Jägerbombs. Hopefully Joe Sheridan will be paying for mine. That's it for this week's, folks. My thanks to Aidan Taggy Fogarty for part one for his hurling expertise, and to Joe Sheridan on the football front. Also to Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. I've been David Jennings from the Racing Post. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes. Don't forget to join us next week.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. Begambleaware.org.